Good morning. Welcome back to the Broadcast Retirement Network. I'm Jeff Snyder. This is BRN AM for Wednesday, January 12th, 2022. And our top story today, retirement funds bet bigger on private equity. Joining me now to discuss this and a lot more, Larry Shover is the Chief Investment Officer for D. Alexander Capital. Larry, great to see you. Happy New Year. Thanks so much for joining us on the program this morning.
Yeah, you know, I'm always glad to be here and just thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, it's great to talk with you and get your perspective as a CIO about allocations and what people can be doing better. This one I think is pretty interesting, Larry, because retirement plans, and by this I mean pensions, going all in on private equity, which had a great year in 2021. Want to get your thoughts about this, though.
Yeah, I've been reading a lot about it, and I know it's one of the mandates for, by the SEC to try to understand it better or tighten regulations a little bit. But the fact of the matter is, yeah, it had a really good year, but there's a lot of issues to be concerned with regards to private equity. It's like, you know, one is just the lack of third-party oversight. I mean, at least relative to you know, your traditional stock and bond portfolio. I'm not saying they don't have any oversight, but it's just way behind. And when it comes to transparency, it's just not the same. And transactions are often very complex. Most people probably can't understand what they're even doing. And underneath all that, you think of just the lack of due diligence with regards to manager selection, et cetera.
Yeah, it is. You bring up some really good points. And that transparency, look, in the public markets, mutual funds, ETFs, stocks, you have a plethora, probably too much information for a lot of people to go through. But when you're doing that due diligence and you're a CIO, but if you're a CIO of a public pension plan, you got a team and you might have some professionals who cover private equity, but you can't know you can't unravel the onion, so to speak. You can't really pull it all apart. Really hard to do for a multitude of products.
It really is. And I remember the days, you know, I ran a commodity pool for the retail investor for 9 years, and the reporting requirements and transparency was just over the top. And when I think of something like private equity, I know it sounds like I'm against it. I'm definitely not against it, but I think it's kind of investor beware of what they're getting into. And it's really hard because it's not structured the same way. It's not uniform like it is in the stock and bond market. And it's really in its infancy with regards to transparency, due diligence, oversight, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, it has allocations have just gone through the roof. It used to be, so when I first started in the consulting business, hedge funds, fund of funds, those were really the place to be, CTAs, et cetera. And hedge funds really have not performed well. I think they had a decent year last year. And so there was a switch of allocation to private equity in order to boost returns. And Larry, let's face it. I mean, a lot of these pension funds, they're not insolvent, but you're always looking to achieve your projected investment return because that helps you figure out from an actuarial perspective what contribution you're going to make. So I understand the rationale. I think it's important to try to get as much alpha as you can, but you also have to take into account the beta, the risk.
Yeah, and that's the thing people don't realize. It's like they've seen private equity do so well, at least by and large, in the past couple of years, especially last year. But it's really risk-adjusted returns that investors should be concerned with, because when you see a published return of X percent, but don't understand the risk that was involved to get that return, that's something that I would worry about, especially if you're, you know, my age or older, where you might not have the time to recover from just a catastrophic loss.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think we have seen in some cases, and this is not, again, we're not for or against any particular investment
That's
product.
Right.
It's about due diligence and about making sure you understand if you're going to select a particular investment, whether it's private equity, a hedge fund, cryptocurrency, whatever, and you are a fiduciary, meaning you have the responsibility for all the participants, all the beneficiaries of a particular plan. You've got to make sure that this is appropriate, not only just for people who are near retirement, but also people who are at retirement.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think, you know, my heart goes out to fiduciaries right now and have for the past 5 to 10 years, because we're just so jaded and so it's hard to get return. And so people continue to move further and further out the risk curve. And again, I'm not saying that private equity is fraught with risk. It just doesn't have the history. And the returns can be fractured. They're complex. And so all that to say, it's like we have these glasses on for most fiduciaries, just like everything's relative. And so we're pushing ourselves to places we probably wouldn't have pushed ourselves 10 years ago.
Yeah. And you're right, Larry, you sit in a lot of those meetings and, you know, it's always about the benchmark. So you've got if you're managing a pension fund, you manage to a certain benchmark based on your allocation. And then you've got different asset classes, and those asset classes are benchmarked against a universe. And you know, you're forced because you're looking for ways to improve the solvency. Look, pension plans are good investment vehicles, good vehicles for retirement, but they're kind of upside down in the sense that the demographics no longer work to support. You know, you don't have thousands and thousands and thousands of employees like you did in the 60s and 70s, et cetera, today. So, you know, I think it just begs the question, you know, how much due diligence do you actually need to do before making a selection like private equity?
Yeah, and I think that's the trillion-dollar question. It's like the due diligence, like how much due diligence can you actually do on something like private equity? I mean, how much transparency are you going to see? And again, I'm not suggesting that they're hiding anything from you or doing anything that's underhanded, but the fact remains they don't have the same reporting structure in place that your traditional stock or bond portfolio or even commodity portfolio has to have. It's regulated on an exchange. There's daily pricing, daily liquidity. Private equity doesn't offer that. So I think it's really, again, it's like investor beware of what you're getting into, and past performance has nothing to do with what's going to happen in the future.
Yeah, it's all about unraveling the matrix, so to speak, and stepping in and figuring out what's there and making sure that it is appropriate for you. Larry, I want to take a very quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about whether private equity is appropriate for defined contribution plans. You're going to want to stay tuned right here on BRN AM. Imagine a new television network that will make you richer, healthier, and in control of your financial future. This network is for the policewoman in Nashville, Tennessee, the baker in Dubuque, Iowa, the teacher in Lexington, Kentucky. We want to make the idea of savings and retirement culturally relevant. But what do you see as a defining issue of the midterms? Especially for the smaller businesses, I mean, they are the lifeblood of the American economy. Featuring exclusive interviews, current affairs, and docuseries. 33 years old, you retired early.
The philosophy is money only matters if it helps you live a life that you love.
But you gotta start thinking about retirement as soon as you get in.
The Broadcast Retirement Network will drive very high engagement with premium partnerships. So this isn't retirement and savings for your parents or grandparents. This is for all Americans. And we're gonna change the way you think about money. Welcome to the next frontier of retirement and savings. This is BRN, the Broadcast Retirement Network.
Are you stuck with a low credit score? A credit report and score that's causing you to be denied credit or pay higher interest rates than others for the same things? Then do what Terrence did and call Credit Repair for your free credit evaluation to help restore your credit.
I started thinking about buying a new house, and my score wasn't where I needed it to be. I called and spoke with one of the representatives, and we just had a good conversation, and I liked what he was saying.
Just one call for his free credit evaluation was all it took to start back on the track to repairing his credit.
I'm seeing the deletions and I'm getting the report, so I know something's being done. It does make a difference to me.
All it takes is one call to get started.
Credit Repair has given me a second chance to have a better credit score.
Don't let a low credit score hold you back another day. Do what Terrence did and make the call for your free credit evaluation.
Call 800-819-4152. That's 800-819-4152. Again, 800-819-4152.
Welcome back. We're talking this morning to Larry Shover of D. Alexander Capital. Larry, thanks as always for sticking around with us this morning.
You are welcome.
Yeah, this is fun. And again, I want to reiterate, this is not a conversation to the negative of private equity or the negative of any asset class. This is about the things that you need to do as a fiduciary when considering these types of products. And the fact is that non-public investments or private markets, as they're called, they're less transparent. And so you need to know what you're going to get yourself into. All right, Larry, let's talk a little bit about defined contribution plans, because there's been some research that has said that private equity, inclusion of private equity in defined contribution plans, most specifically target date funds, might actually add to the retirement adequacy of 401k plans. Give us your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think that's, it is what it is, right? And I think a lot of it is based on short-term history and not on the plethora of history or even what could happen going forward. So it's a splash of a headline, and it makes a lot of people anxious that are not part of it. But I do believe that it's perhaps not taking in the entirety of what's really going on in the space.
Yeah. And look, I think it makes sense to have a fund like a private equity fund in a target date or met or some type of portfolio that is professionally managed. It's there that you can do the due diligence that you need, whether it's done by a consultant, independent consultant, advisor who is advising a board, or it's done internally by in-house staff. I think it makes sense to put it there versus, hey, just letting someone just willy-nilly allocate money into a private equity fund.
Yeah, exactly. Because even you saying that, to me, ups the ante a little bit. Just by its very nature, these investments do not have the same standards that what we're used to in the public markets, right? But that said, when the ante is being upped a little bit, well, then their compliance reporting perhaps will move up the curve, and the lack of transparency will turn into more of a push for transparency. It's not going to change the fact that these are very complex transactions, and the volatility of them is really hard to put a finger on. You can't base it on what happened last week. But I think it will encourage these investments to become more like public market investments with regards to the transparency, reporting, compliance, due diligence, et cetera.
Well, Larry, there are $32 trillion. I think that's the right number I pulled from the Investment Company Institute. They do an annual survey of all things retirement. And the DC portion was I think, around $32 trillion. That's a lot
that's
of
right.
money at stake sloshing around. Right now, traditional mutual funds, target date funds, ETFs really haven't made a splash there. But I can understand the appetite, the salivation to get into that space. And at the end of the day, there really shouldn't be a reason why, if you're in a 401k plan, but you're also in a pension plan, you shouldn't have access to those types of investments through a professionally managed portfolio.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And it's another form of diversification. But again, it really needs to consider the risk-adjusted return of that investment. And the issue is, it's really hard to put a number on that return, at risk-adjusted return, because every day is different. And what happened this past couple of years in that space isn't indicative of what's going to happen this year or next. So I think within a balanced portfolio, as long as there's somebody who's really doing some deep due diligence on this, it makes all the sense in the world.
And Larry, let's not forget, and context is important, because private equity is also responsible for some transactions in the retirement space. They are supporting certain advisory firms that bankrolling in order to consolidate. There's a ton of consolidation going on. So I think when you are an employer, a fiduciary, you've got to not only take note of the instrument, but also the influence of the entity in the space that you're in. Because the last thing you want to do is buy into a product or buy something that where someone has some kind of influence on what you're selecting.
Yeah, no, this conversation is great. It makes me think that there's going to be an evolution. Something I've thought in the back of my mind anyway, but the slow evolution of just bringing the standards up to make sense for everybody, whether it be defined contribution, 401k, whatever. The private equity space for so long has been in the backwater, because it can be in the backwater, not necessarily wrong, but it kind of reminds me of the whole CTA, CPO space 20 years ago, where people couldn't get their head around, oh, I'm going to actually invest in a future, and what's that, buying and selling? And I think the same thing's going to happen, and probably much more quickly, given the immense amount of opportunity that's involved for both the investor and the private equity industry.
Yeah, and let's not forget the position of the regulators. In this case, the Department of Labor has shifted between administrations. We had a really positive statement come out from the Department of Labor in 2020 around private equity. That was received very positively by people in and around the private equity industry. And then most recently in December, the new administration's Department of Labor kind of reversed course and said, hey, it may not be appropriate for everyone. And
that's right.
kind of measured responses. So, I mean, what do you do if you're a fiduciary? If you're a fiduciary of a retirement plan, I think you explore all options. I think you take your time during your quarterly meetings to not only review what you have in the plan today, but you look at what else you could have. That's what the role of the advisor is. That's the role of the fiduciaries and the board, to make sure that you are considering all options to make your plan better and stronger.
Yeah, no, exactly. And to my point earlier, like 2021, the SEC Department of Examinations made it a one of their key points to not just move slowly on, but very methodically on how this whole thing can fit into mainstream investments, especially with defined contributions in mind. So it's just one of those areas that investors are clamoring for it. Fiduciaries are trying to figure out like what fiduciary even means. Does that mean keeping investors away from it or embracing it or diversifying into it? It's really be fascinating to watch in 2022. And I think there is a spot for it in some people's portfolios, especially with target date, with a long time to potentially recover from any kind of loss.
I think you're right. I think this is just one of the asset classes, the others being cryptocurrency, ESG, and others that people are really going to be taking a hard and fast look. Larry, always a pleasure chatting with you. And we kick off 2022 very right. Appreciate having you on, and we look forward to having you back on the program again very soon.
Thank you so much.
That wraps up this episode of BRN AM. Have a topic of interest, someone you think we should talk to, drop us a line. And don't forget, for all the information in lifestyle, wellness, tech, finance, so much more, and all in one place, check out today's edition of our daily newsletter, The Morning Pulse. Want to search our archives or check out our latest content? Then check out our streaming partners, Amazon, Roku, Samsung, and over 100 more. We're back again tomorrow. Until then, I'm Jeff Snyder. Stay safe, keep on saving, and don't forget, roll with the changes. Now is your opportunity to co-create content around any topic on the First Lifestyle and Wellness Network. Reach a global audience through our platform and co-own exclusive branded content. All of our programs are available on demand and also as audio-only podcasts, so you can take us on the go. Broadcast Retirement Network, available anytime, anywhere, and on any device.
Are you being audited and do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes? Is the IRS threatening to take more of your money? Don't fight the IRS alone. The Tax Doctor is here to help you negotiate your tax bill and reduce your stress. The IRS can freeze your assets and seize your bank accounts, but you can stop these IRS actions. The Tax Doctor will work with you using our years of experience to represent your case to help you get the best resolution under the IRS guidelines. Help is here to deal with the IRS to reduce your stress. We've handled thousands of cases, so we know what we're doing. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, do not call the IRS alone. Call a Tax Doctor now for a tax emergency analysis.
Call 800-224-6439.